All right, ladies and gentlemen, Crazy Gaby here, of course. I've got something very, very special for you here. It's actually Saturday, June 21st that we're recording this. We are mere days away from the NBA draft. We've got all sorts of free agent hype going on. Now, I know when it comes to daily fantasy sports, we don't always have a lot to talk about, especially because, you know, daily fantasy really just matters for the current day. But each year, the NBA landscape completely changes. The entire face of the league is completely rocked off its foundation, and we are just, like I said, a few days away from having that happen. So I've actually got on the line here with me Mike Gallagher from RotoWorld. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Mike S. Gallagher, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and he's here with me to sort of break it down. A man much smarter than I am. Look, I can tell you who to take on your salary cap teams. This guy knows what's going on. He knows who uses the bathroom and on what schedule, so he's going to tell us everything that's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks.
That's exactly my forte. So thank you.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's dive right in with a couple easy ones. I'm going to let you go ahead and dismantle me, so your confidence will be just completely sky high. I'm used to getting beat down, especially after yesterday on Twitter when I post this question. All the rumors about Klay Thompson going to Minnesota for Kevin Love. I think, you know, David Lee, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, a lot of pieces involved in potentially being sent over in this deal. I made the comment that at least for the Golden State Warriors, I like Klay Thompson there better than Kevin Love. My reasoning, positional scarcity as far as shooting guards are concerned, there just aren't many of them. And I feel like at 24 years old, rather, Klay Thompson's career upside is extremely high. And I think that the stretch four, what's really, really good on, you know, for Kevin Love, I don't feel like it's too difficult to just reach in and grab one of those from Europe. You lose the elite rebounding, but at the end of the day, like, I don't think my biggest issue is I don't think Kevin Love will ever be the centerpiece of a championship team, but I think Klay Thompson could be a strong peripheral piece on a championship team. So I'm going to give it to you and tell me how dumb I am.
I get it. I mean, three-point shooting, I mean, Klay's shot like 42% from three last year. I mean, that's ridiculously good, obviously. And he's had like a month slump, so I definitely hear you there. But, I mean, Kevin Love, there's not many guys that could score as well as Love does, and just that alone. Klay really grew, too. I mean, if you saw him in the preseason, he was really going after the basket and, you know, really became a better scorer rather than just getting his assists off Curry and stuff. But, yeah, the rebounding. Love's post defense isn't as bad as everyone thinks. It's pretty bad, and I think that space in the floor will really help too. But they don't have any depth at center. So if they could get another big man maybe to help with Bogut, that would help. And I really love Draymond Green at the three, so they can slide. Assuming they don't deal Green or Barnes, and they get it done with those two, they're going to deal one of them. But I think they have enough roster flexibility to have a couple extra power forwards and even play them at the center spot and mix it up. But I would take Love. There's just for the scoring alone.
You're not being very aggressive. You're allowed to beat me down here. Look,
I love 3-point shooters. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to shoot 42% from three, I'm definitely interested. But, you know, Klay, like we talked about defense yesterday, he really grew last year too. But I still really think his pick and roll defense needs a lot of help.
Oh, for sure.
Way too many times he's going underneath screens and he's just getting killed. Like, I want to say I've seen that like 15 times, maybe more. Just go over the top, man. It's okay to switch. Some teams switch too much. But, yeah, he's definitely got the skills. But, you know, I'll take the Love just because he's has a lower assisted percentage rate and all that good stuff. And he had no one to be interested to see how he does with help. Ricky Rubio, arguably the least talented offensive player in the entire league, let alone starters. Guy can't shoot, so that'd be fun. And Pekovic too, another guy who can't really score. So I think we're maybe even shortchanging Love a little bit about how good he is.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm gonna pull a first take here for a second. I do this often. I know Klay Thompson probably listens to these podcasts, so if you heard it right now, Mike Gallagher calling you out saying you got to work on the pick and roll defense. You got to stop fouling. You got to go over the screen. So
yeah, that's his fouls are out of control, man.
we gotta put him on the hot seat here.
He was over like 4.5 fouls per game. I mean, you're a guard, man. You can't foul him that much.
All right, he's got the message. I have no doubt he's going to use this as motivation. I'm talking like Eye of the
For
Tiger,
sure.
Eye of the Tiger montage style,
bulletin board material.
okay, so another aspect of this trade, real quick, before we wrap it up. one of the big arguments was everybody talking about Kevin Love being an underrated passer. Is David Lee not an underrated passer as well?
I don't know. I think he is what he is with passing. Okay. But he was a really good passer with the Knicks. They ran him as a point forward quite a bit. He's above average. I wouldn't say he's like Noah or even as good as Love is. But, he's probably like 60th percentile, something like that.
Okay,
pick up stats, I don't know.
So bottom line is I'm not completely crazy. I'm definitely like, if I'm running your franchise, if you're an owner and I'm your GM, you're not happy with me.
You'd be fired.
No, oh, well, I'm fired. Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know. That's the definitive enough.
I was kidding. Go on. What were you saying? Sorry.
I was going to say, that's a definitive enough statement right there. I'd be fired. So that's one of that. All right.
Severance package, nothing.
No severance.
Deuces, bro.
All right. So the next question I wanted to ask you is something I thought about last night. Kind of hearing all the Kyle Lowry rumors, and I've heard some very weak rumors about him landing in Miami. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not sure what his landing spot is going to be, and we can talk about that in a few moments when we get into your free agent stuff. But what if we had a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant or somebody with that natural skill set, somebody with that natural ability with an attitude like Kyle Lowry? I mean, how much better would a LeBron or a Kevin Durant be, in your opinion, if they had a mindset and an attitude like that? Every time they take the floor, the other team has offended them and owes them something, and they have a chip on their shoulder.
LeBron has that sometimes, which is pretty cool. Doesn't really have it too much these days, but I honestly, since you said that, I don't know if that would actually help KD.
Okay.
Just because of the injury risk. Lowry is so aggressive, man. He doesn't care. He just goes out there and kind of like John Wallace back in the day. He used to just always go out there and, they call him Crash, just because he would just get injured when he shouldn't be. Just,
right.
Put your foot on the brake a little bit, pump the brakes. I think we talked about John Wall too. John Wall's really a guy that has been kind of more aggressive and, really has that killer instinct too. But LeBron had that too. I mean, LeBron has had that. We've seen that before. But he's kind of become more nonchalant, but no one can stop him. I mean, the guy shoots 80% at the rim and just a beast. But, I love Lowry. I love to see where he goes. He should get a nice payday. Hopefully the Raptors bring him back. He's a great fit for that team.
Yeah, that's kind of a sore topic for me. I had a lot of money riding on the Raptors this year. Not even like on them on the money line or anything else. I managed to get 25-1 from quite a few people that they would make the finals.
Oh, wow. 25-1?
Yeah, I felt pretty good about that. Look, I feel like if we ran that back 25 times, they're going to make the finals of the Eastern Conference at least once.
Yeah, DeRozan didn't play that well in that series.
Yeah, so, it was...
Knicks, I'm sorry, Nets kept him in the mid-range, man. He actually got to the free throw line a ton, like I think 10.5 per game, which is, I really like DeRozan too for fantasy next year too. He really came on because he's getting to the basket, getting the line more. Really important.
Was that all it was with him this year, by the way? Just
huge, yeah. Drives per game, free throws per game. He shot better in the mid-range. Those are really the three big things that clicked for him. And, he's really good off the dribble. So, he could definitely keep it going. I don't think last year was a fluke.
Yeah, it feels like he doesn't have the quickest first step off the dribble, but he's so long, that step just gets around people.
For sure.
So that's kind of what I said. I don't have any metrics to back it up again. That's why I love the fact that you're here. You've got all that stuff in your mind like a library. I just know when I watched him play, he didn't seem quick, but he always seemed like he was able to get around his defender with that first step.
Yeah, it's, and maybe Lowry helped him too, and Valanciunas getting better. Even Amir Johnson, way better offensively too. So they got a good little starting five.
All right, so
it's kind of crazy. Kind of losing Rudy Gay helped him.
Oh yeah, you know what? I called that though the day of on Twitter.
Nice.
I called that. I've been the biggest enemy of Rudy Gay. Now listen, I have a little bit of a bias against Rudy Gay simply because he always seems to sneeze and pull a back muscle and late scratch off of my daily fantasy lineup. So he's been in my my doghouse for a long time.
Oh, that was so brutal with that illness that one day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he does that a lot. Drama. I'm gonna chalk it up to him being a drama queen. So
yeah, he does kind of have that about him.
But that's enough for the fun portion. Let's kind of get us nice and loose. Talk about some.
That was the fun part.
That was the fun part. Now it's time for business. We're gonna hammer down. We have the NBA draft coming up here, and I want to know your thoughts on a couple of these potential landing spots, because the Joel Embiid has basically thrown a giant wrench like we've never seen in an NBA draft less than a week away. So let's start with Cleveland. Obviously, we thought they were going to take Joel Embiid with the first pick. That's clearly not the case. In fact, when I was talking to you beforehand, you said that there's no possible way they could take him. At this point, I still hear some analysts, some rumblings saying that they might take the risk anyways. What is the farthest you think he falls in the draft before he has to be taken?
As far as all the possibilities and all the universes in the world, I can...
Are we going some string theory here?
The universe is in the universe or whatever. I would say he has to go in the lottery, like worst case. I mean, someone's going to take the plunge. But and Chad Ford at ESPN thinks 3-6 is about right. That makes sense too. I, however, have him going number 7 to the Lakers. They are just dying for a big man, and it's worth the risk to them. I mean, he's out 4 to 6 months. He's probably going to miss the start of the season. He's just too good. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's arguably the best center prospect we've seen in decades. That said, the risk is massive. When this guy had a fracture in his lumbar region of his back, that's not good.
No, not at all.
Yeah, the navicular bone, that's a very interesting bone to break. Most guys, Brook Lopez, for example, they usually break their metatarsal. That's the long part of your foot, between your ankle and your toes, that archy part. People usually break that. People usually break the fifth one. That's your pinky one.
Right.
But the navicular one is right in the meat of the foot. I mean, it's just really scary for that bone to break, and you need to put 2 screws into it. Just wear and tear kind of thing. I mean, he's very kind of Greg Oden. You don't want to say those 2 words out loud when talking about a big man. Yeah, because actually Oden too, if you remember, he had, when he was younger, I think like 8th grade, he had a hip injury. So one of his legs grew just a little bit longer than his other leg. So that may be the reason why. Yes, I kind of sounded like Shooter McGavin just now. My right arm's just a little bit longer than my left. Sorry, Happy Gilmore fans out there.
Just get in the hole! Why don't you want to go home?
You forgot your 9-iron, Shooter. So too much risk, man. But yeah, I think the Lakers would be a good fit. The Celtics are going to have a really tough time passing on him at 6. The Jazz, Cantor is he's a center, but he could play power forward. Derek Favors on the block. I could see them going for him, or even Von Lane. We'll talk more about that too in a minute. But So if he goes further than 10, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, two things there. First of all, do you remember when the Utah Jazz fans actually thought that Derek Favors and Enes Kanter were going to be, sort of the next incarnation of Paul Millsap and Al Jefferson?
Yeah, that was fun.
That they were basically like, let him leave. We don't need him. We'll be just fine. That didn't work out so well, did it?
Yeah. Favors was huge in the preseason. Like, he looked like a super all-star. But, Kanter is so bad on D. It's, like, laughable.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. I think at some point, though.
Yeah, if you get the ball within 5 feet against Kanter, just give the team the points.
At some point, though, their offense was so bad, though, I felt like they did a disservice by not playing him more. They weren't going to hold anybody down with, Richard Jefferson playing copious minutes. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So at some point, you just got to bite the bullet and say, all right, give me 20 points and 10 rebounds, and at least you'll hide a little bit of that defensive deficiency.
Yeah, they're so bad on offense, too. I forget, but Trey Burke shot below 30% in like 20 games or something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. LeBron didn't do that once.
That's crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
The season LeBron had. Again, we could do a whole podcast on his effective shooting percentage this year.
Yes. I would love that.
And how it's absolutely unprecedented for basically a point guard to do something of that nature. But, we'll continue talking about the draft here. Now, I'll close up the Joel Embiid thoughts with words cannot express how happy I would be to see the Lakers get stuck with a broken big man, re-sign Nick Young, and have him actually playing alongside Kobe Bryant. Nothing would make me happier than seeing that.
What about Nick Young hurting Joel Embiid while they're playing together?
I could definitely see that. I could absolutely see that happening. It's the only thing. You know what? I wouldn't say that's better because I don't want to wish any ill will on the young man. But I, look, not exactly the most cerebral player. I think You know how LeBron just harps on, rags on Mario Chalmers? To the point of like, you're wondering how Mario Chalmers hasn't just bitch slapped LeBron at some point in the game at some day.
So. You think he would have by now?
I feel like Kobe would have to do that to Nick Young at some point.
Yeah. Do you think the Heat bring Chalmers back? So bad in the finals, man.
I feel like after that, could he ever get his confidence back to where it was to be that big shot guy in the finals?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
That's
definitely want a better defensive guy, you'd think. I mean, if LeBron, a three-point shooting defending point guard, it'd be a great fit for them.
So. I actually just scribbled down a thought when we get to the free agent portion. You've inspired me there. Thank you for that.
Nice.
I'm gonna throw something your way. But okay, so that's Joel Embiid. We think that he falls in the 3-6 range, but you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, the Lakers would definitely snatch him up. If he's there, nobody else has a chance of getting him after that, because the Lakers just have to take the dive. And that means Parker or Wiggins at number one to Cleveland, unless they trade out. Are they gonna trade out?
I can't see it. I mean, this injury thing kind of makes that top pick all more valuable. So the two big rumors that have been popping up have been, and this actually makes sense now too, if they're not high on Parker, and it sounds like they are, but Cleveland giving the top pick in exchange for Thaddeus Young and the third pick, which, because that third pick we'll talk about in a second, that thing lost a lot of value. The other one is that top pick for Derek Favors and the fifth pick, which is another interesting deal. So they could come up, and because the Jazz really, 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 really want to get Parker or Exum. So if they think Parker's a superstar, you know, and that sounds like a steep price to give up the top five pick and a good draft, and a guy who's huge potential. If Favors started making decent mid-rangers and started to come on and get better at the free throw line, you know, he could definitely be a, you know, top eight power forward in the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's steep price, but Parker's the guy. I think they take Parker. So I think they'll keep the pick.
Okay, they keep the pick. They take Parker. That takes us to Milwaukee. They obviously have to take Wiggins. I think they're upset because they wanted Parker. You know, what is he, like an hour and 15 minutes away from where he grew up? They thought that was going to be an excellent draw. It was interesting before the show, actually. Before this podcast here, you told me that you thought the Bucks should be doing what the 76ers are doing as well, especially after how terrible they tanked last year's free agent signings.
So bad. Like we were saying, Ersan Ilyasova, bust. OJ Mayo, bust. Larry Sanders, bust. Carlos Delfino, bust. Luke Ridenour, bust. I mean, they just missed everywhere.
By the way, I think these teams, at some point, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be assigning a little too much importance to folks like myself and you, but I think at some point, these organizations are just going to either have to create a position or start hiring in people in current positions that are knowledgeable in the fantasy sports world. Because it feels like we sometimes know a lot better what's going on than some of these people do.
It's true, man. We, we waste, we call it wasting, but hours and hours a day just looking at sports stats and stuff. So, I mean,
isn't this what GMs get paid to do?
Pretty much, man. Learn a little bit of the law and, just crunch some numbers. A lot of teams are, you know, hiring more analytics guys, like the Rockets. I've always noticed them, looking for people to be analysts for just analytics, which is really cool. Daryl Morey's a man. Must follow on Twitter, by the way.
Their D-League affiliate, by the way, is the coolest story, in my opinion, of all the minor league sports in any sport.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys come up too, man.
Yeah, you know, they have that philosophy where it's either a three or a layup. They just don't do anything else.
For sure. They had, I forget the specifics, but their mid-rangers, they obviously ranked dead last, but the 2010th ranked team, they had double what the Rockets had. Like, they didn't take any mid-rangers. It was amazing.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of like that, not to get too far off track here, but I kind of like that idea of actually using your developmental team to not only develop players, but to develop offensive strategies. Like, if it works at the D-League level, maybe we can see about implementing some sets like this into our professional team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Troy Daniels came up with those threes. He had, like, a record for three-pointers per game in the D-League, like, ridiculous. He had that big shot, too, which was really cool.
Yeah, it's crazy that he was able to come in and be so effective in the playoffs.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they're everyone talks about the big signings with Howard and stuff, but I mean, look at the guys that they brought up: Chandler Parsons, second rounder, Terrence Jones. No, not very. He wasn't really a big guy. He just blew up this year. So yeah, you definitely got to give them credit. It's just not just about signings, but that's what they're doing too. They're trying to get Melo now.
Klay Thompson or James Harden? I'm gonna go Klay Thompson.
Harden's D is so bad.
That's what, yeah.
So good, man. I don't know. I'd probably take Harden, man.
Okay. Let's frame it in this context. Klay Thompson or James Harden on a team where you already have a competent point guard who, you know, is like a Steph Curry type.
Okay. Then yeah, I'd probably take Klay there.
Okay. Cool. So I just want
defense too, because we talked about pick and roll defense. Harden's probably the worst in the league.
Because he doesn't try. It has nothing to do.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Oh, he's going to dribble, go left, right. Yep, okay.
How was this the guy that was locking down LeBron or Kobe or whoever in the finals a few years ago for the Oklahoma City Thunder? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either, man. I guess he's just scared to get hurt.
I suppose so. But anyways, so that's the Milwaukee Bucks. We got off a little bit of a tangent, which is fine. Great basketball talk here. But you and I both agree the Milwaukee Bucks now basically have to take Wiggins. They're not exactly thrilled about it. Could they be a team that trades out since they don't want Wiggins, or do they just have to go with that potential, you know, top 10 talent in the NBA someday?
Well, they do actually like Exum a lot from what I'm hearing. So they had him in this week for a workout, and I wouldn't be a shock to see them even take Exum at two. It'd be like it'd be a shock, but it wouldn't be like Anthony Bennett kind of shock, you know?
Right.
So I think Exum is for real. I mean, everything that, you know, we didn't know anything about him 3-4 months ago, but he's apparently killed it in his interviews. He's a freak. I mean, the guy's just like all muscle. He seems like a smart kind of guy and can really grow to be a, you know, elite point guard. And this day with how the Spurs do everything and, you know, point guard is kind of back. He kind of went off a little bit. Everyone's like, oh, Durant. And LeBron and all that stuff. So.
Right. We only need
stretch fours, but having a good point guard is big.
Yeah, and I think Exum would fit a little better on the Bucks, to be honest, alongside Brandon Knight. I feel like Brandon Knight would have a better time playing off the ball than Michael Carter Williams would.
Yeah, his assist to turnover ratio is just garbage, man.
Yeah,
it's Knight, he's just got to learn to be a better passer. But I mean, Knight was a pleasant surprise for them. He was really the only pleasant surprise for that entire team, you know, besides Antetokounmpo.
Oh, don't get me started. I use my.
We
can do an Antetokounmpo podcast, my friend. That's.
We should. I'd be down for that. So I wonder where his brother goes, because his brother was. He's worked out for like half the teams, so he may go in the 20s maybe.
Really?
Freak too. He has like a. I heard he registered like a 42-inch max vert. At a workout too, so that'd be cool.
Wow, that's unreal. So yeah. So basically, it's really what Milwaukee chooses to do that will influence what Philadelphia does.
Yeah. I mean, Philly, I think that's such a bad pick now.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were like, oh, I'll just get Embiid. I'll get Parker. I'll get Wiggins. But, I think they take Exum, man. I really do. Which is, they could, I don't know. I mean, Vonleh, they're really high on Noah Vonleh, too, from what I'm hearing also. So they could do that. It's pretty much those two guys, I guess. But then again, they don't really have a center there. I don't think Nerlens Noel can play center in the NBA. We'll see.
So any of those three players, Parker, Wiggins, Exum, can any of those three make an impact on day one for daily fantasy players?
For sure. I think that whoever the Bucks take is absolutely going to be on your radar, like from the first day of the season.
Okay.
They were just so bad. And the Sixers, too. Sixers led the NBA in pace last year. However, they were last in offensive efficiency. So if they can actually be a little more productive with how they're scoring the ball, huge upside. And that's why we saw Thaddeus Young really blow up, because they just kept running up and down. His, obviously, efficiency numbers fell. His efficiency was up about the same because the three-pointers, but field goal percentage-wise, it was really bad. Right after that trade, that sent Spencer Hawes everything away, that he was horrible. He had like 3 or 4 games below 30% from the field. Just huge volumes of shots too. But yeah, whoever they take too could be big. I think the Cavs, whoever they take, probably won't have as much value as the other two teams would, just because Kyrie is so ball dominant.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was going to be my next question was, is it basically going to end up being whoever the Cavs take is just sort of conceding Rookie of the Year honors to one of the other two players?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that, yeah, unless Kyrie gets hurt, man, then there's really no way that I can see someone stepping up that big, even though the Cavs do have a lot of holes in their team. So the player could get minutes, he just won't get the usage rate.
All right, Orlando, what do they want to do in this draft? They've got obviously a lot of holes they need to fill.
Yeah, another team, they really wanted Exum. So every mock draft I read had him going 4. So I think they may actually go for Marcus Smart, who I had really low. I had him, I think, 8 or 9 a couple weeks ago. Hmm. But, man, just because that one pick, just the Embiid falling out, I mean, it really just helps so many guys. They could go for Julius Randle. They had some issues with – they apparently want to keep Tobias Harris on the bench. I mean, they started guys like Andrew Nicholson just because they want to keep
– that guy did nothing.
Bench, man. I think Smart would be a good pick. Jameer Nelson's going to get traded. Victor Oladipo can't play the point. I think they're kind of realizing that his turnovers are way too high. So I think Smart would be a really good pick. And apparently Smart is adamant about wanting to play point guard. Just a lot of people. He's 6'6", big guy. So he definitely has a shooting guard kind of body. Even, you know, he could play a small 3, too, in a 3-guard lineup.
That's a scary defensive combination. If you get the wingspan of Oladipo, of Smart, and Tobias Harris out there, you know, pretty active, you coach them the right way. That's actually a pretty solid defensive core
for sure.
Right there.
Oladipo's definitely got the skills to be a good defender.
Yeah, I'm interested to see exactly, you know, a lot of it comes down to coaching on defense. I'm interested to see where that goes. Utah Jazz, we talked about it earlier, Enes Kanter. Phenomenally bad on defense. You said Derek Favors is on the trading block heavily right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Mr. Gordon Hayward. What are the Jazz looking to do in this draft? Obviously, they're going to keep riding Trey Burke, so they don't really need much at the point guard position.
I don't know about that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think if Exum's there, it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
What it sounds like, Exum's like their number 2 player on their board. They have Parker 1, him 2. But, yeah, man, Burke just doesn't get to the rim, man. It's just a killer. When you're playing your team built around big men and you can't get to the basket, it's just going to hurt. And he can get around guys. He just doesn't know what to do once he gets kind of past the perimeter.
That's coachable, though, right?
Yeah. Really since Summer League, if you watch him play in Summer League, all he was doing was just, like, pulling up for 8-9 footers and just like, why are you doing that, man? He can't shoot over guys and just was blocked too much in Summer League. He gets blocked too much at the rim too. I don't know. I don't think I loved him. He was my pick for Rookie of the Year.
Your really preseason pick or your after the season?
Preseason. Yeah.
Hey, give me some digital dap here because that's actually who I picked as well before you had the foot injury.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had huge opportunity, man. They started John Lucas while he was hurt. So.
Wasn't Jamal Tinsley in there a little bit?
Yeah.
That worked out phenomenally for them.
They can't get any scoring. But again, I think they may go with Vonleh or Julius Randle or Smart too. If Smart's there, any of those 3 guys makes sense. I don't think they would go Aaron Gordon. I think they want kind of a more rebounding defensive guy. But I like Aaron Gordon a lot too.
Is there an opportunity for any of those guys to step in and be impactful right away?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Smart, if Smart gets drafted there, that would be a great fit for him. I think Burke would get bumped to the bench, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he would make sense as a bench guy too, playing against kind of backup point guards. Usually are a little bit smaller and you know, kind of throw caution to the wind more as a scorer, I guess, which would be good because he plays scared too much sometimes.
All right, Boston Celtics at number 6. I've heard rumors that they may be looking to deal. Is that true?
Yeah, if they can get that Kevin Love thing to go through, they will. But they're falling way back. It sounds like the Warriors are lapped in the field here. But they're going to get a good player. They're really high on Vonleh and Gordon, so I think they'll come away with either of those 2 guys. And again, Embiid, too. Embiid could be there. That's going to be a tough one for them to swallow. They didn't get much out of the center spot last year.
Yeah, Favarani, he got sent back to – was it the G League or was it Europe?
Yeah, he was in the D-League, main Red Claws, but then he got hurt. He had a knee injury.
Yeah, yeah. So I like his prospects as a potential stretch four, but I don't think he's ready for the big leagues yet, so to speak.
No, not at all. But Sollinger, they played him too much at center. He can't play center. But solid defense, too, so I mean that's good.
Funny story, I was completely destroyed by Jared Sollinger when he was in ninth grade at a pickup basketball game at Ohio State University.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I played against Dante Jones back in my day.
my friends didn't tell me who Jared Sollinger was, and I didn't know because he was a ninth grader. And,
yeah.
So I got this guy. I line up. 12 points later, playing to 12 by ones, he scored all 12 points on me. It was...
Oh, man.
He's a ninth grader. I was a grown man at that point. I was 19.
Nice.
So, and he was handling the ball, too, because he wasn't, 6'8 yet. 6'9. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not too... Was he, big? Because he's kind of big. Was he kind of lean, or was he about the same frame?
I talked about this a lot earlier in the season. So, it's a bit embarrassing, but it's got the biggest ass I've ever seen. And he just moves you out of the way. Just backs you down and moves you out of the way. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it than that. That's just what it is.
No, you're right, man. It's accurate.
So, I mean, he was very strong and very had a great base of power from his thighs all the way up, would I guess be the best way of saying it.
Low center gravity.
Exactly. So we've talked about the Lakers already. We think if Embiid is there. Real quick, tell me who they might take if Embiid is not there.
Smart. That makes sense. I don't think they would go McDermott. Aaron Gordon, they had him in for a couple workouts. He actually registered this is going to make everyone sound fat, 3% body fat at the Lakers workout.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, that'll make you feel old and fat and stuff. But anyways, he's actually, I think he is the youngest player that is in the draft. Aaron Gordon is, pretty sure. He's first or second. But yeah, so he may be a pick for them too. But if Embiid's there, man, I don't know. Seems like Kupchak would have to take a chance there. But you know what? They may need a coach for that. So
yeah, I was gonna say they need someone to steer the ship.
So I don't know what they're doing. But
Byron Scott.
Yeah, that sounds like who it's gonna be.
Yeah.
They have like nobody under contract. They have what, three guys under contract or something?
But they got Swaggy P. They're gonna bring him back at least.
They'll bring him back. Yeah. So, man, the championship, LA's back.
So Sacramento Kings, I know if they could, they would package this pickup along with some other stuff to grab Kevin Love. Probably not going to happen, though, right?
Yeah, they've really fallen back. You'd think they want to go power forward. So if Randall, Vonleh, Gordon are there, they'd probably go that route. Then again, if Smart's there too, they could take him and – maybe let Isaiah Thomas walk, restricted free agent.
Yeah, by the way, that upsets me every time I think about it. Because Isaiah Thomas is a damn fine player. And I want him to leave Sacramento. Because you know what? The Kings don't deserve him the way they've treated him over the past couple of seasons. I want him to go somewhere where the organization actually appreciates his talent.
Yeah, he's we talked about Lowry. He kind of fits the bill too.
Yeah.
Real aggressive and... he definitely
nobody can keep him in front. Nobody in the league can keep him in front. He's just too small and too shifty.
Yeah, he's could be the Kings were last in assists per game last year, and I hate that stat. So that's always a big knock on any team's point guard. But then again, it's not necessarily all his fault.
No, that I watched a lot of Kings games just because I had a man crush on Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. I still do, and I can say definitively, it was not Isaiah Thomas's fault for the most part. That the ball just died when it went somewhere else when he passed it.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay is known as the offensive flow killer. DMC, another guy too. Guys with, somewhat low assisted percentage rate on their buckets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm with you, man. I love me some IT too. So,
what are you going to do? You're going to drive in and you're going to dish the ball to Jason Thompson? No, thanks. I'll just take the shot. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? No, thanks. I appreciate that, coach, but, I'll go ahead and try my floater in the lane as opposed to kicking it out to, Marcus Thornton or, Ben McLemore. No, thank you.
Yeah. Oh man, McLemore. What a letdown.
Yeah. That was astounding how bad he was. I mean, for daily fantasy purposes, we kept telling people for like the first half of the season, just take him because they're playing him 30 minutes no matter what. Like they literally will not play him less than 30 minutes. They don't care. And eventually it was just like he could play 48 minutes and don't draft him.
Yeah, man. I watched him in Summer League, and I'm going to if anyone has time to go to Vegas for Summer League, go. It's so awesome. Anyways, yeah, he couldn't score in Summer League, man. He couldn't score on those guys. So it's no surprise he couldn't get it going this year in the big leagues. So we'll see. He's going to be in Summer League again. Hopefully he could score on his own. It was all just catch and shoot.
Yeah, so, he was really heralded as well. I mean, he was highly heralded.
I think Vegas had him, I think, like number three for Rookie of the Year odds or something like that. So, I don't know, man.
All right, we've got the Charlotte Hornets coming up here next. I think Al Jefferson's going to be happy to get out of those ugly duds, got something a little more appealing on him. Who are they going to pair up with him? Because I've heard this is a team that could definitely be looking to give away this pick in order for a piece that will help them win now. They kind of sense that they have a window in the East at this moment while it's still kind of building. So do you think that's the case?
Yeah, they got really lucky because that pick is theirs because it would have been the Pistons had the Cavs not moved up. Mm-hmm. So that's how they got that pick. But yeah, I could see them dealing it. And from what everything the Jordan's saying, they're and Rich Cho too. They're gonna make a push for a free agent too.
I think it's gonna be Lance Stephenson. Full disclosure.
Wow, that'd be a good fit.
I think he's just a huge upgrade over Gerald Henderson. I don't dislike Gerald Henderson, but I think you put Lance Stephenson back there, especially. Gerald's just not a ball handler. You know, you put Lance back there, let him take some of the pressure off Kemba. I mean, Kemba as a spot up two guard, you know, running him around kind of like a Stephen Curry type role. I would love to see that out there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
I think that would sound that would fit. But as far as draft goes, everything I've heard is they really want to get Doug McDermott, which that'd be a really good fit next to Jefferson.
McBob.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I love McBob. I think he's so underrated.
He's gonna opt out, so we'll see if they bring him back.
They should. I think he was the one piece that really tied everything together.
Let's talk about passing big man. Yeah, I think he was number two power behind Love for assists per game and power forwards.
You know how sometimes you can watch basketball and you don't necessarily have a metric to measure it, but you watch the game and you just say, that guy, he just makes the right play. He's a winner.
Yeah, he does. He really does. Dude, the Duke guys, man.
Yeah, that's really how it is. And it doesn't hurt that he looks like an axe murderer.
Yes, that guy from Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, exactly. So... Philadelphia, they've got their second pick at number 10. What do you see happening there?
Well, if they take Exum, they could wind up dealing MCW for anywhere. Any lottery pick is definitely within reach. I mean, and he exceeded his value so much last year. He went, 11th in the draft, and I just played great. So I think if they could flip him, you know, maybe even package his number 10 with MCW and get... You know, even in the top five, I think that's something they'd consider. But if it's there, and they, you know, they do get a small, they're going to go small big. So if they get a small early, they'll get a big late, or whatever the process is there, and vice versa. So if they go XM, they may go for Joseph Nurkic, or I'm not pronouncing his name right, but the international guy, really, really young. He's like 20, 6'11", big dude. So.
I'm the king of admitting I can't pronounce names when they're difficult, so don't feel bad at all.
Yeah, I'll learn them when they start saying them, I guess.
I'll learn them when they earn it. That's my thought.
You got to
earn my time.
Yes, it took me way too many times to learn how to spell Antetokounmpo. Actually, funny story, when we were putting him in the system, if you remember this, there was a debate about how you spell his name. They had it spelled like, everyone was like, oh, it's spelled this way. No, it's spelled this way, this way, this way. And apparently, like, ESPN had it wrong. And so when we were putting him in the RotoWorld system, I literally changed his name 5 times.
Was it Nick that messed it up?
Oh, what's up? No. It was all me. Like, it was just like, oh, no, what is it, this? And it was really funny.
I'm really hoping we could get a chance to call Nick out here. That's what I got excited for when you started saying that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so these last 4 picks in the lottery, Denver, Orlando, Minnesota, Phoenix. Tell me, do you see anything major happening with those? Any players coming out of that little pool potentially? Because these are sort of more established teams. Maybe they don't need somebody to come in right away to play.
Yeah, just to wrap up on Philly real quick, if they go small, I think they're going to go Gary Harris.
Okay.
Michigan State, he's really good. But, so looking at that way, Phoenix has been working out a lot of point guards, which is kind of interesting because they have, you know, two top 10 point guards on their team already.
Bledsoe's gone, by the way.
You think Bledsoe's gone?
He's gone. He's gone.
Oh, man. You think he's going to get max? He has to, right?
Yeah, he's gone. He's getting a max deal. And they just – I don't think he'll ever reach his full potential if he's playing with another Chris Paul. Not saying Goran Dragic is that good. He needs his own team. You know, I think he wants his own team. He played in the shadow of somebody else for too long. I think he wants a team to be his. He's the guy getting 35 minutes a game, ball in his hand all game.
Oh, yeah. Guy is just ridiculous. I love Bledsoe, man. I would take him. I have him. I'm putting together free agency rankings. I have him. I almost want to put him over Melo, which sounds kind of crazy. But Eric Bledsoe, man. Good defender. He can score at will. I love how he gets to the basket. His jumper really came on last year. But I think he may be gone, which is, I live in Phoenix, so, and I kind of catch some Suns game here and there, so I hate to see Bledsoe go, but Dragic is legit, man, so I don't know.
How do you not have season tickets, by the way?
Working too much, man.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I would have my laptop at the game. Doing my Roto World stuff.
Yeah, I pretty much work every single night. I do the blurbs, if you guys didn't know, on Roto World.
Oh yeah, I pride myself in being able to find the mistakes and then either find you or Nick on Twitter and make a joke about it. So
nice. Yeah, I'm probably, if it's a typo, it's probably me, man. I'm full of typos.
All right, so that wraps up kind of what we're looking at for the NBA draft. And you mentioned
Other teams real quick too. Just real fast. I guess we can go. Denver's
got
that 11th pick. Magic, they may go, you know, really anywhere. They'll kind of do the same thing as Philly, just go big, small, vice versa. And the Wolves, that pick may get dealt too in a love deal to move around. So, yeah, that was quick.
There we go. Perfect. So if that love pick, though, is that kind of just like a gimme that's going to get thrown into any package with love?
I think so.
Okay, kind of just to make it like the cherry on top of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, when you're that far in the draft, there's not really, unless someone slide. Could Embiid slide that far?
I don't think he would slide that far. The guy I'm thinking of is like McDermott, right?
I'd be shocked if he gets past the Hornets, man. Everyone loves him. We talked about the stretch fours too, so that's a interesting thing. We'll see. But McDermott's kind of you either like him or you don't. I think someone's gonna like him too much. He may go if he goes over Gordon or Randall. Randall may slide too. He's got that foot injury.
Yeah.
So I think that. What if Randall slides to 13, man? That'd be a hell of a pick too.
Oh, that'd be crazy. That'd be absolutely nuts. I'd be calling and inquiring as to the price tag on some of these franchises because I'd be willing to buy in if I could get Randall at 13 or 14.
Yeah, love how Ballmer is going to pay $2 billion cash. It's so sick.
That's baller for Ballmer,
right?
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous.
I looked up. Bill Gates is worth $78 billion. He made $9 billion last year. Like, dude. What do you even do?
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? You walk into the bank and you...
Yeah, you think when he walks into the bank, like, he just gets treated like a king, like, in the absolute sense.
Yeah, he'd have to have, like, his own teller, right?
Yeah, like, coming to America, people put rose petals at his feet and all that stuff.
Has to be something like that. So, all right, so that is... I was just kidding
Brandon last Watson. Time.
I was just kidding last time. This now officially wraps up the NBA draft portion.